going on down there?
Hi everyone, we are here with episode 4 of BotCon 2012 with WTF and TFW. Episode 3, I recorded bits and pieces of last night, but I might not actually get it put together till after I get home. So for now, there will just be a very confusing and infuriating skip in the numerical sequence, which may cause some of you to get very angry, but, you know, you can deal with it. The date's posted in the top left. It was Saturday today, and hopefully we all had a pretty good time. I felt very satisfied today. I got a lot done. I got a couple video interviews shot, I attended a bunch of panels, so I thought we'd talk about how the Saturday went. Is there something behind me? Oh, there is. Good, just wanted to make sure. Over on the other side of the room, we've got Aaron.
Yes.
Who's totally just copped Gog's mic.
He handed it to me and never took it back.
I don't always have to start first. Yeah. This isn't prime time.
Yeah. Oh. Gog is here as well, as you heard.
Hello.
And Seth is behind me.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
We've also got some other folks in the room, just surrounding us, may chime in here and there. Over on that end, we've got Quinn Jester.
Hello.
And we've also got Alfie.
Hello.
And then over there, we've got Trent the Rainer.
Hello.
And behind me, we've got Mr. Cook Sucks.
Hello!
Oh man, don't do that again. We've got Mr. Cook Sucks.
Hello!
Thank you. So let's talk about panels today. Today was a panel day. I think this was actually the panel day for BotCon. Now, I slept in because yesterday, you know, I had a nice hot glass of milk and went to bed at 8 p.m. And I slept through my alarm clock a little bit.
You're a liar.
So, no. So I got up at like 10:30, so I missed the first panel, which was Dan Gilvezan and Busta Jones. But I heard it was a pretty legendarily funny panel because Busta Jones is like, I'm just going to talk about whatever I want to talk about. Did anyone here get to see it? Okay, come over here. Let's get you on a mic here. I want to ask you about it. So it was your average Q&A panel for voice actors, right? Like just open mic Q&A?
Yeah, there was a little bit of this is what you do, this is how we got into it, at least from Dan Gilvezan and Buster Jones just kind of saying, well, I auditioned and someone said that I should play Doc, so I was Doc. to which confused a lot of people, I'm pretty sure, because I know I was not sure if he meant Ratchet or Dark to Archival. And then it took a while to realize that he was talking of G.I. Joe, to which made me wonder, why are we talking about G.I. Joe at a BotCon convention panel?
Because Buster Jones talks about whatever he wants to talk about.
I think he saw the box set. The G.I. Joe box set that we got with Cold Slither.
That took me too long to catch on to. That was just long enough for me to say that didn't work. I'm sorry. I also heard that someone tried to do the drive-through thing on
yes.
them.
That was pretty much the second question was, well, hey, do that thing where you guys order something from a drive-thru. Buster Jones then turns to Dan and says, dude, what'd you say? Dan re-explains to him what the question was, and he just says, why?
So he didn't do it at all?
He did not. Well,
excellent.
Dan proceeded to do it to please the fan, and then he just kind of started talking to him as Doc. So it was Bumblebee talking to Doc, I guess, at the drive-thru.
That's pretty fantastic.
So what did Doc have to say? Was he just complaining about wearing opaque green glasses all the time?
He did say that Bumblebee eating fast food was not good for his health. And that was about the extent of it.
Anything else interesting happened in that Q&A, or was that pretty much the gist of the experience?
Pretty much. He was just... He liked to talk about whatever he wanted to talk about. And despite the fact there was a question, he just kind of went off. We found out about the Harlem Globetrotters, about the fact that any time a black person was in a cartoon, he got the part.
All right. I heard he said something about paychecks all over his floor.
No, the paychecks are paving his driveway because of so much residual checks.
Excellent. I wish I was there for that.
What was the best gift given to him by a fan again?
It was chlamydia.
No, that was what Dan Gilvezan got.
I apparently missed a really cool panel. Okay. So after that legendary panel, thank you for the help, by the way, with the direct report. We then had the... Oh, I missed another panel. There was the IDW Comics panel. Did anyone check that out?
Yeah, I was in there for that.
All right. Pass me my Coke Zero, which is the one behind Gog's, and then right. tell me all about it. Or Gog can pass it, because Gog's a better friend. Okay.
they basically went through and just did their normal thing of showing off the next issue of each, and they did a breakdown of some of the ways that they're doing something about a 100-page kind of lead up into 86 or whatever, the picking up on the Marvel numbering. Mm-hmm. And they talked about, what is it, Autocracy, that's their online comic, and how that's been doing pretty well for them. And there was nothing really terribly groundbreaking. A lot of the Q&A questions were like, you know, are you going to take care of this thread? And they're like, read the next book or in two books. So
that's been my experience with the comics panels. That's yeah. why I kind of stopped going to them. It's not a slight to those guys at all. It's just that yeah. it seems like they are not in a clear position to reveal much that right. I would want to know about.
That, and I mean, already with solicits, you know, you read the solicits for 2, 3, 4 months out in previews, it's hard for them to be much further out than what previews is saying, short of, well, what we'd like to do or what we're thinking about in the future that are things that may or may not ever happen.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, at least someone checked it out.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, and with comics, I like going into comics not knowing stuff.
Right, right.
Much like movies, so I have even less of an inclination.
Because you know the storyline for the next 6 issues, and it's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. Well, at least someone checked it out. Any other thoughts on the comic panel, or should we just move along? All right, let's move along. After that was the animated talk with Derek Wyatt, which was an interesting panel. It's mostly just for animated fans, pretty much. Yeah. Derek came in with the DVD of like shorts and character bios that they put together but never used, about 20 minutes of material, so he just screened that right away. And then just did some open Q&A, handing out some toys, mostly to little kids, because little kids like toys.
Had like the best question followed by the worst question in a panel.
Mm-hmm.
It was, which one of those was your responsibility? The best question? Gog, as you're not paying attention.
I don't know. It was your idea. You say it.
Well, you were the one passing around the mic at the time. I don't know, because there was a little kid that asked, why can't I watch it on TV anymore? And the whole audience went, no!
Yeah, and then the kid came, and then that was what triggered Derek to start giving out toys.
Yeah.
So he gave the kid a toy, and then he sat back down.
What did the kid get? I couldn't see.
He got to choose a toy, so he chose Hot Rod.
Hot Rod, okay.
And then Derek sat down, and I said, hey, so why can't I see animated on TV anymore? But he didn't give me anything.
Yeah.
And, nobody likes you.
I know.
And then the question right after that was the classic, why is this, you know, not aware of the topic of everything, was a woman asking when the next convention was going to be and when is it going to be in Dallas again.
That was fantastic.
I thought he handled it well, sort of going, bah.
Yeah, he said the next convention's in 2013. Thank you. We also had, during that panel, Gog was helping out with the microphone, and I was helping out with being a second person sitting on the panel to give him someone to bounce on.
I was also helping out with advertising for TFCon.
Yeah, so after we're done, they left the cameras running, because there's a camera pointed at the panelists that projects on a big screen. So Gog just kind of chilled out by the camera, facing a certain direction, with basically a giant advertisement for TFCon on the back of his t-shirt, playing on the enormous screen over top, and I thought that was quite funny.
Totally innocent, I'm sure.
Yeah, and eventually they just turned the screen off.
No, I was watching, because I was staring at the lens to see how long I could do that until they turned it off, but they never turned it off. That guy, who I think is Brian's son, he went over there to like mess with the camera and then leaned his entire face in front of it.
Oh,
and
okay.
Wasn't paying attention. So that was kind of fun. The questions, I mean, there was a lot of that stuff was basically like, what would have happened in animated if, or what was going to happen in animated about this or this or this. So just a couple of answers we've heard before. And some interesting stuff, like, you know, if they were going to do a combiner, Devastator was on track, Bulkhead was going to be forced to be the center part of Devastator, while the Constructicons would attach onto him. So a lot of cool stuff that always has that slight bittersweet note of animated's done.
Yeah.
And someone had asked the question immediately, like, so what are the chances of a comic series? And he was like, nothing right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure that question or something similar got asked at the IDW at the comics panel too. And they're like, mm-hmm. Well, really? Because we're already running like four books basically.
Yeah.
You know, what more do you want, geeks?
So that was a fun panel. And it was, as I said, very animated, fan oriented. So nothing really new came up except a little hint that there was going to be something in the TCC panel that right. people might find interesting. I don't know, any other thoughts about the animated panel before we move on?
Well, there was a Derek was asked if once in G1 Smokescreen and Blue Streak and Prowl were all the same mold, just repaints, would that carry over into animated? And he said yes. Did you hear that, Pete? And then we knew that there was going to be something animated related in the club panel. I was like, oh my god, they're going to do a bunch of animated toys, like a box set maybe, that's next year's theme. And then we had to wait to find out. But it kept me excited.
Yeah, there were neat tidbits coming up in there. Anything else about the animated panel? Anyone have anything they want to add? Or shall we continue on to the next voice actor panel? Was David Kay and Gary Chalk. Very open Q&A. Those two guys still have their wonderful candor between each other, but the Q&A in that panel got pretty dire in the middle. It was okay at the front, and it was okay at the end, I felt, but in the middle, there was this chain, this unending chain of Dance From Me Monkey Dance questions, and about halfway through it, David Kay, like the beginning of it, David Kay was trying to carry it a bit, and Gary was just kind of like, wait, what am I supposed to do? Like the drive, I think it was the drive-through one. It was one of the ones where they're supposed to both. No. It's where their two Optimuses would meet. David Kay started doing this whole thing as animated Optimus, and then Gary leaned forward and was like, I actually didn't hear the question.
Oh.
What's he doing? And that led to even more Dance For Me Monkey Dance questions, and David Kay then kind of got tired of it about halfway through and was just like, any questions about the show? And at that point, Gary Chalk took over and said some stuff that I thought was really hilarious. Which I probably won't repeat here right away because it's, we're not an explicit podcast, but the question was, say some stuff that your characters would not be able to say in the actual show. And then after he dropped a few, I thought, hilarious little lines, Gary Chalk was basically like, I don't have a reputation to uphold or anything. Cause you know, I'm old, I'm a senior. I can say whatever I want. I was like, damn right, sir. So, that Q&A got really painful in the middle. But I think it did improve. That was a restarting MacBook. Any thoughts on that panel in particular? Anyone who checked that out?
No, I came in at the end of it because we tried to go get lunch during that panel. Not to say, hey, voice actors, just get panel, but, you know.
Unfortunately, sometimes it kind of feels that way. Like, there's only so much that can be asked at a voice actor Q&A. And,
right.
And at a BotCon or something like this, it can get pretty bad.
Yeah.
Like, the David Kay one got pretty bad. I don't know, Gog, you were in there with me. It was an interesting experience.
Yeah, the voice actor stuff, like I generally just don't even go to the panels. The main reason why I was there was just making sure we still had seats for the two panels after that. But mm-hmm. like the voice actor panels are more for the people who have never seen those guys before.
Yeah.
And it's fun, I'm sure, for those people. The first time you see a voice actor that you've been a fan of their work for years, it's probably great. And that's what you remember, the first time you've ever seen them. In that case, I think for those people, it's great. But otherwise, it's just us seeing the guys answer the same questions over and over again and get asked to say ridiculous things. And some people are into that. Some people aren't.
Yeah.
But there's no real news to be had. It's cool to see those people. I'd much rather come up to them at the bar later and be like, hey, nice to meet you. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Get that 5 seconds out of the way. That, to me, is more meaningful than 50 minutes on the panel of people asking them to say stupid stuff.
I always feel like it's a dice roll when it's actors I like, because sometimes the panels can go pretty well. You can get some really insightful conversations about, you know, folks you've seen before, what they're up to now. But the middle of this Q&A was a circus, and it was kind of a bummer. It was funny to a degree, but also kind of a bummer at times.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, just let's move on. Let's get this out of the way. And that would take us into the Transformers Collectors Club Roundtable, where they opened up with statements about credit card stuff with an apology and some wording that also got a little bit like, you guys don't know how hard it was on our end, which I was like...
Harder on their end.
I was, yeah, oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, it
10
was
times.
10 times harder, because they had to deal with all these angry people yelling at them all the time like a bunch of jerks.
Yeah. Well, they did flat out, and I don't even know how they admitted fault, but it seemed like they said, hey, we thought we had certain software installed that we didn't on our ISP's side. So it sounded like they may have said, hey, it was our bad, but it wasn't our bad.
And to me, it's like whatever, you know, I don't.
Yeah,
I don't want
it's
blood.
Past at this point.
Yeah, we're so far beyond that stuff. But just the tone of it, I was kind of like, that should have been a shorter statement and a lot more just quick apologetic bang, just get it out of the way. But I was like, whatever. They got stuff to talk about. They got their slideshow they're going to do. So during the slideshow, they showed us the development of BotCon figures, which was kind of – Brian Savage has this way of saying things that the way he says it kind of makes Aaron angry.
Yeah.
And it makes me excited because it kind of just annoys me, but I know it makes Aaron get really angry.
Yeah, it's – I know that he's doing it because not everybody goes to these every year. However, he has a way of explaining everything the same thing three times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talking about how they use the Pantone color books, which is a standard stock thing because it's the same colors that in every Pantone color book because not everybody's monitor is the same. So we have the same colors in the same Pantone color book. And it's like, yes, we get it. We're not 5 years old. We understand what you're talking about here. Move through the meat of this.
Yeah, one thing he does that bugs me is when he asks, like, okay, how many people want a drawing class? And a bunch of hands go up. He goes, but you're going to have to come in a day early and book another day of hotel. And now, like, who really wants it? And that's what they did with the online registration.
Yeah.
When he was like, who wants online registration? Like, they practically knocked a building down with the roar of approval. He's like, but you're going to have to pay $10. And, like, you just get the feeling that if enough people put their hands down, then he'll be like, well, I guess you don't really want it then, do you?
Well, then that also had, he had a kind of a similar thing of how to fix the everybody wanting to get into the customs class is telling the people that had done it before to instead go on one of their tours.
Yeah, that made me go, like, do you even, like, I was
that,
like.
That sounds like a lot of equal fun.
Yeah, I was like, so. You're telling people to ditch a customs class where they're going to build a toy that only exists in that customs class that if they want to, they could probably flip for four figures or pay more money to go on a local guided tour. And I don't mean to – I mean, hey, you can like whatever you like, but I think guided tours are one of the dumbest things.
Yeah.
I don't like them at all. I'd rather be on my own schedule and not be led around like I'm on a field trip. No hatred towards those who like guided tours. I just hate guided tours.
Well,
as a thing.
Something like a guided tour is great for a family because then they're taking care of transportation and all that stuff. So I can see its place, but to say that one is comparative to the other is
the very
totally
nature
wrong.
Though of the customs class is like even, this is the whole thing of like why don't you just sit out of the customs class and let someone else take the seat? And it's like, buddy, it's a $115 customs class. It's not like people are going like, well, I guess I'll sit in because I'm so eager to do this customs class.
Right.
It's basically a day of work and an exclusive figure.
Right. Like, and the rough thing is the guy that broached that question had something that I thought would have be a decent solution if they're all into fairness for the random drawing for the Peter Cullen signatures is to have, okay, in the first 2 days or whatever of registration – you know, to give some sort of window, you know, say, hey, I'd like to be in a customs class and then have a drawing for it because then it's equal chance, you know, not to be a poor schlub like me who's tried to get into the customs class and had it either time out or kick them out, you know, but then it was taken into, well, other people just shouldn't sign up as a solution.
Yeah, it seems like they're very not interested in taking suggestions from the outside.
No, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's shocking to you, but from my own personal experience. Well, like when the whole credit card thing started, I was sending them messages like, you don't have to admit responsibility or fault. Just warn people like, hey, there's a coincidence at least. So people could start covering their stuff. And before that, like suggesting how they could divide up the lines better. So one line doesn't stop while the others are empty. And it's just that they just won't even acknowledge that there was a suggestion.
Yeah. Well, I think part of the thing is they may not always really acknowledge that there's an issue that needs rectified other than it was a minor squabble, not something terrible.
Well, they did it with the color palette choice swap for like the Spinister mold because they said, who wants the color palette to match the robot? Everybody raised their hand. who wants the color palette to match the vehicle mode? Everybody put their hands down. He's like, well, you love those pants that he's got wearing, don't you? And people, a couple people screamed, and he just kind of went, yeah.
I know, this whole, it's like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
one.
This whole, like, well, I guess,
hey, son.
Well, I guess I was right, wasn't
you
I?
Got
like,
savage.
not to say that it feels like a whole lot of the times when I watch Pete interact with people, but this whole thing of like, I'm going to set you all up to think you're smart, then make sure you all know I was the one who was right. Like, that whole tone still irritates me a whole lot, and they did it a whole bunch. And once again, it felt like it's a club roundtable. The Q&A part felt more like, feed us questions so we can tell you how great we are,
yeah.
Rather than, let's have, there was no discourse at all. There was no interest in a discourse that I could really see, aside from the most piddling questions that could be out there. And it's just things like that just bugs me. I don't know.
I think that was the first roundtable panel I ever bothered to go to. And it just seemed like they would spend a lot of time talking about in something that could have been said in a much shorter way.
Yeah.
And like they're building up and building up and building up to revealing these figures. And then it's like, oh, just get to it already.
Yeah. Well, that was like my whole point with when Brian was going through the whole process of how they choose colors. And, well, you see that windshield, it's on the clear bit. So what color does that mean? It's got to be.
Well,
pause
even,
for response.
Even when they got to the other side of that and they're like, so we're going to do subscription. And then they go on and
oh,
on
yeah,
and
yeah,
on
yeah,
and on.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's like, just get to the figures already. And then they show one and they go on and on and on. It's like,
well, not only that, but they pop up the thing that shows the subscription service. And then they're getting into minutia details when they haven't really explained well what the subscription service is going to be.
He opened by saying, we have no price in place, we have no schedule in place, but still managed to spend about 5 minutes with a slide saying subscription service, talking about a whole bunch of technical stuff that's like,
yeah,
it's interesting, but I mean, without a price to end that talk on,
right.
Save it for when you have the price.
Right. You know, it would have been nice if they even had, you know, let's say ballpark numbers, if you sign up for all six, it's going to be $300 as a number that's not a real number. But if you try and buy them all individually, they'll end up being $400 as a number that's not really a number. So it'd be better to do one than the other, but none of that. But it'd be a little bit more expensive if you sign up for the one, but if you get them all six, then it's going to be less expensive.
Like,
but if you get them separate, then it's going to be even more expensive than the other
giant,
one.
Giant, long, rambling nonsense of like, I tell you, we're going somewhere with this, but Show us the figures first. That's what was so great about the panel afterwards when Hasbro was like, all right, guys, what's up? Pictures, mm-hmm. pictures. Okay, here's a bunch of ride stuff. Oh, don't even play the clip. Just pictures. It was great.
Yeah.
And this whole thing also of when they were showing those photos and they're like, the next one, you guys, it's going to be pretty crazy, but we're about to show the next photo. I just want you all to know that you're all really excited. So get ready for it because it's time to show you this next picture. And yeah, you know, you heard that? Caught that?
I just want you to know you're excited.
Yeah.
That's basically what they said at one point. Okay, this is paraphrasing because I don't entirely remember. When they talked about how they did Shattered Glass Spraxis, and they went like, so we saw, you know, maybe about 50-50 people online maybe didn't like the color scheme as much as other people did. But then when they read the bio, everybody loved it. And I was like, I wasn't aware that I loved it.
Yeah.
That's good to know. Thank you, Dad. I didn't know.
Yeah, and I kind of understand where he's coming from with that too, but Brian said that he thinks it is more important to have a cohesive story set down and then figure out the characters that'll go into that later. And I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I think it's better to choose what mold you have available, what awesome figures you can do out of that, and then make a story that makes sense with those characters. But Brian seems to feel the opposite, and he made that very clear, that he feels like it is important to get the story down first and then make the characters who work in that fiction that can be available. And that seems to be, I understand where he's coming from, but it also seems to be that they're taking their universe more seriously and don't realize that it's a bunch of guys who just want classics versions of toys. Or, you know, maybe that's a little too encompassing, but people want awesome toys with good decos that they can't get otherwise first. Because when I have those characters on a shelf, I could care less what their club comic fiction is. Just like Run Amok and Runabout. I think they're involved in their fiction somehow. I don't know. I don't care.
I wanted Run Amok and Runabout. I don't want them to make a story and then give me some character out of that and then think that I take the story more seriously than I do the figures.
I can see where they're coming from in terms of having a strong story, because I'd like to have strong stories that tie me to the characters. The thing is that their stories are a 20-page comic book once a year for these box sets. Sometimes the box sets are lead out from their club comics, but the thing is, their club comics, they're fun, but they aren't, to me at least, unbelievably gripping, engaging stories. Yeah.
But it's not the most important factor.
No, it's absolutely not.
And that's what they absolutely stated in their mind they think it is.
And like I was just having a conversation with someone earlier about how I would love to see the club develop a well-done original character, like an original Transformers character, build them up through some stories. Don't build them up like, you know, make him the best thing ever. Just build up this new character that maybe we go on a few comic adventures with for a year, and then that BotCon have the character drop as an at-show souvenir. And go like, hey, remember Far Zone Scope?
Yeah.
Remember how cool that guy became? Guess what? BotCon 2015, we've got deluxe Far Zone Scope.
Well, I wonder if part of that also comes from the G.I. Joe mentality, because it's a whole lot easier to make different G.I. Joe characters than it is to make Transformer characters, as I'm getting strobe lighted right in the face.
Well, the other thing that people forget to mention is that Brian specifically said, oh yeah, we realized based on last year that the story is very important and we're going to make, you know, story and then toys. But the story written last year was by Marty, right?
Yeah.
So the story is now, if you guys read the comic book now, it kind of sucks.
That's a really
still.
Good point. It's also a story that is incorporated into existing animated fiction. It wasn't just a one-off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Man, I've been handed a pretty lewd note with a pretty lewd toy. I'm not going to share this on the air. Maybe on a camera next to me if there's one running. But that was kind of a weird thing. Now let's get out of all this nonsense though, because unfortunately it did make the lead into this next part. Like I was coming into this next part going like, what are they going to do now? They start talking about this subscription service, and then thank goodness they finally just had a nice positive cap on their panel by showing a figure subscription service, which I had theorized Transformers could not afford to do given the nature of the toys we have, the way that G.I. Joe could do it. But I was wrong, thankfully. There's going to be a 6-figure subscription service, and there were some cool figures in there. They felt like higher-end BotCon toys to me overall, even though the somewhat weaker ones. The first one they showed us was, you know, a very obvious one. It was they took their G2 breakdown from BotCon 2010 and made it into G1 breakdown. That's totally logical. That's one of the first Transformers I had, so I'm very attached to it. I love its color palette. I love animated breakdown. So now the breakdown shelf can get even bigger. Ooh. Jeff?
No, well, that was something that I had seen a lot of people on the boards back when that figure was released. People suggesting that Hasbro do. Like, well, since they're going to make the G2 version, how about Hasbro take that same head and use it in a mainstream release? So there does seem to be some demand for that figure.
Yeah, and it also, and I heard you guys talking about this behind me, I forgot who said it, but they said, well, we already had the head, so we figured we could just do it. And we were all like, wait a second, I thought that their custom head steel molds aren't steel and explode after they finish using them.
Yeah, they've said that before, that they do cheaper molds, because then he said, yeah, steel's expensive.
Well, it's possible that they just had the design already done, so they didn't have to take the time to make a new head.
Oh, let's make another temporary mold.
Just make another temporary mold.
Okay.
That could be true.
That could be the thing without making them be...
That makes sense.
Without making them be liars, but...
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And I that is probably exactly what happened, but I did hear this conversation behind me, and I was like, oh, yeah, that is weird. But nonetheless, it's cool. I like the look of that toy. The next one that I recall them revealing was... What was this? Yeah, R.I.D. Scourge.
Yeah.
The most obvious repaint to ever be conceived is going to happen as a subscription figure, and it looks pretty cool. I was a little confused when they said we were having this long discussion about whether or not his windshields and sword should be silver, and said we made them red, and I was like, the debate is about whether they're pink or red, not silver or red. But whatever, they're red. I like it when they're blood red more than when they're pink. So, cool. Looks great.
Yeah, then somebody stood up and shouted something about a trailer, and there was a giggle of people from in the know, and then other people go, yeah, you guys should, and it's like,
And then Brian Savage was like, I guess I'll just go make one over in my garage this weekend.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, you don't know what they're talking about. And then the next one I recall is the one that I was most excited about. They're taking Deluxe First Edition Starscream, giving it a new head, and turning it into Slipstream from Animated. And I mean, my friend Maya Choco Mochi on Twitter has basically done that custom because it's so obvious. And
it looked good.
It looked great. I'm pretty excited about that one. I also liked how when that one popped up, I believe it was you, Gog, who said, "Well, damn it." Is that you or Aaron? I forgot.
Me. He retweeted me.
Okay. Because that basically, I think, is going to be bought by a lot of people, regardless of whether or not they outright subscribe.
Yeah.
And it, also, interesting to note, just as a tack onto this, those figures are going to be made to order, which is quite interesting. Because it means there should not be sellouts.
Yeah, and see, that's where I wasn't sure with when they were talking the subscription service stuff, having to order early, if it was... there would be the list of six and you could order them individually. And then so that at least everybody that made an order would have a toy and then they'd make 10% more or whatever to cover. But
I love how they said that they're going to be made to order when it's a subscription service. Doi.
Yeah. Well, I think
what everyone cheered.
I think the cover there was the fact that there's not going to be a set number of subscriptions. It's going to be how many ever people subscribe in the 3-week theoretical window that they may have and then go from there.
And, I mean, Slipstream finally getting basically an official toy is a fantastic victory. And, hey, guess what? You did good, FunPub. You did very good. I mean, you did the most obvious good thing that you could possibly do. There's another animated toy in the subscription service, which was also put together by Derek Wyatt, and that is animated Jackpot, who is based on the Jazz mold. And looks like Jackpot. It looks cool. I'm guessing just someone out there really likes Jackpot. He's got a cool name. I like his name. So that one looked nice. There was also
Ultra Mammoth.
That was the final one, but yeah, Ultra.
Oh, I didn't know you were going in order.
I was trying to go in order, but yeah, Ultra Mammoth was the last one. That is
Circuit.
Yeah, well, Circuit. Let's do Circuit. Yeah. So Circuit was it looked like Axer, ROTF Axer, or Hunt for the Decepticon Axer. And he's painted up like some European toy who I have completely forgotten.
Apparently, Circuit is a European Action Master repainted from Exer.
Oh!
So that's the whole thing.
Okay, that makes more sense now.
Yeah. Now I'm way into it, because at first I thought it was one of the Brain Master repaints, and I was like, I guess? But that makes a whole lot more sense. So, I'm cool with that one. It looks delightfully BotCon 2010, and I really dig the deco on it. And then the last one was Ultra Mammoth, which was Big Convoy repainted into Ultra Magnus colors as a blue and white woolly mammoth who basically turns into Ultra Magnus right down to the red eyes and the blue faceplate. I think the name is kind of interesting, but I also have this thing where I find puns like that really offensive to my sensibilities. And when they said Ultra Mammoth, I almost got out of my chair and I was like, I have... punched people for stuff like that. But it's cool. I mean, it's nice to see the Big Convoy mold come out again, and the color scheme looks like it could be pretty neat. I don't know, any thought? I mean, you just got Big Convoy.
I just bought Big Convoy yesterday.
Yeah, so how are you feeling?
It's effing Big Convoy!
Yeah.
Big Convoy!
there's a lot of inside jokes going around that no one is going to understand. No, out of all those figures, really the only one I want is Slipstream. I would have been more interested in the Big Convoy if I hadn't just bought it, but having just got this one for $40, which is probably going to be cheaper than what the club is going to be offering for this right size class, I don't really feel the need to get the mold again, even though it looks neat and that mold has not been released in many years. So it's going to be really cool for the people who've never gotten it, because I think that is a really good mold.
Yeah.
I've been messing with it since I got it. I can't put it down. It's awesome.
Question. Are all of them going to be in boxes?
No, they're
in... They talk about boxes.
Mailer boxes.
In mailer boxes.
Special double corrugated mailer boxes. Brian Savage got really excited to talk about the special cardboard they're making the boxes out of, which I had a lot of trouble getting as excited about.
It's like two layers of boxes, and they're like cross-fibered. That makes them stronger.
We're using...
to handle Big Convoy.
We're making special new mailer boxes made from cross-fiber double-stitch cardboard, which can take a lot more punishment than your regular one-stitch, one-ply cardboard. Like, that's all I was hearing in my head was just this, like, I was like, I'm so glad that someone is this excited about cardboard, is how I felt.
But it's like, I guess I feel lucky because out of all the subscription figures that they showed, there's only one that I'm... that I really want. The rest are, I'll be more than happy to pass on. So it's going to be, I guess, easier for me to, in advance, find someone who doesn't really want it and is willing to part with it from their set. Or just, if I get lucky, I guess, buy one of the...
But you'll be able to buy it.
Yeah, but that's going to be probably worse off than it is. Yeah. If, get like, the people who bought Overrun had, like, a 2 or 3 day window to get it before it sold out. Mm-hmm. Have a feeling after the subscriptions make, if they make a smaller run of that, it might even be harder to get if you're not one of the subscribers.
Yeah.
But either way, I'll get it one way or another. I don't know if I'm going to buy it directly from the club. I'll just find someone who's already paid for the subscription and want it, maybe, if that's going to be feasible. But
yeah.
Like, so yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this turns out for the people who actually subscribe to it.
I'm really curious. I'm thinking I might do the subscription because I did have interest in like none of those figures except for maybe Circuit really fell flat on me.
Mm-hmm.
And Circuit was only because I sat there going like, I'm sure when I know the context, I'll dig it. Now that I know the context, I do dig it because I love Action Masters.
And an interesting thing too is they said that with their international subscription, there's not just a flat, you're either American or international.
Yeah.
There is now, you choose your country and you get charged actual or at least close to actual shipping depending on where you live. So that's hopefully that turns out to be a huge plus for people who are not living
in
the States.
I really hope so. And I was glad that our own Boardwise asked the question because it did not occur to me at all. But sorry, we have someone in the room here who's being a horrific distraction.
Getting back to Ultra Mammoth, I kind of actually want it because now I don't have to hunt down that rare blue big convoy because it's practically the same thing.
Yeah, they were pretty close.
Yeah, but aside from that, I wouldn't mind getting all those figures except for Jackpot.
Yeah.
That's the only one that kind of really didn't do for me.
But see, that's the thing that it would be nice to have had a better idea of. And hopefully when they get whatever modules installed into their website to do this thing that they really do... bust out what the different levels of things are going to be, because there are probably going to be people that only want one of those. And so, yeah.
And I really hope that this goes well, because the last thing that FunPub needs to do is on top of everything else. Like, I hope the subscription works, and I hope it's not a subscription like a Maddie Collector subscription, which is sometimes really cool. And then when it doesn't work, can really not work. I have a shaking head over in the back of the room. A knowing shaking head.
But, I mean, and that's something that even... I'm glad they talked about it early, but it seemed like they didn't even have it down if they were going to be doing every 3 month shipments or every 6 month shipments for things. So, you know, it'd be nice to know more on that stuff. So,
Is that the six figures one every 6 months, or is it one every other month?
That's what they're trying to figure out.
Yeah.
They're not sure if they want to do a figure a month for 6 months or two figures a month for 3 months. Okay.
Well, if we're going to be going by the G.I. Joe subscription service, which is the 12 figures a year, that subscription is going to be around $300 for, 12 figures?
Yeah.
How much do you think this is going to cost?
I think $300 is not an unreasonable
way more
number.
Than that, I think. I mean,
well, by the time you add in shipping, probably. But if you think about how much is a box set?
300.
Yeah.
How many figures do we get in it?
Six.
Yeah.
One big one and a bunch of deluxes.
So I'd probably be about the same as a box set. For BotCon, when you add in shipping, because there's not going to be the big box if it's all getting mailer boxed, shipped. So,
I'm expecting it's going to be about the same cost as the G.I. Joe one, because 12 Joe figures to me seems like about, I mean, I'm guesstimating hardcore. That seems about the tooling that you'd get out of six deluxes who are
the average about $25 a figure for that subscription.
Yeah, I'm guessing like these are deluxes, so I'd guess $50 a figure. Roundabouts.
So,
I also think it would probably even out a little bit more because some of those Joe figures have unique heads and whatnot, like Iron Claw. And as best as I just saw from the pictures flashing by, it looks like there's no new parts, are there?
Oh no, there are. Slipstream has a new head.
Oh, okay.
I swear another new head was in there, but now I can't remember.
Well, I think Switch was the only one.
Okay, I thought I saw another new head, but...
If anything, Breakdown uses...
Oh, yeah, oh, sorry, yeah, he uses a Bakon head.
Yeah.
I was trying to see, I was trying to figure out if Jackpot had some kind of new head or just
did,
a...
Did Switch not have a new head?
No, she had a new head.
Yeah, she's got new tooling.
They spent a while on her new head, apparently. Yeah, the jazz head? Okay. I don't know why. Jackpot kind of worked for me just because I like that color scheme.
And I think that jazz head can be versatile depending on how it's painted. Saw that.
Yeah, yeah.
Last year.
So that was basically a pretty decent... that went a lot better than I thought it was going to coming out of the club. I was sitting there literally going like, I wonder how many subscription figures will be Shattered Glass or Wings of Honor. Because those are the two club universes. So I was like, is this just going to be a way to run those kind of as toy lines? But no, they went full on multi-universal. And then they went on to show the freebie figure as well for next year, which is a deluxe Depth Charge made from Trident Man. I forgot his name. Terradive. They basically said that they saw the head sculpt and saw Depth Charge in it. I agree that there is a Depth Charge-ivity to that head sculpt. And the Trident works with the whole Aqua thing. The thing is that he's still called Depth Charge, and now he's a jet. And I was just sitting there laughing my head off, imagining this jet trying to fly around underwater.
Yeah.
And, like... I think it looks cool. I don't think it looks bad, but I felt quite a cognitive disconnect when I saw the alt mode along with who it was. And I know that Death Charge had a flying mode in Beast Wars. And so I was like, all right, that kind of puts it together. But just his name is so aquatic, but he's a jet. And I was like, I don't know. It's kind of funny.
Well, and they even made the comment that he's lost a little weight.
Because, yeah, he was also really thin as this toy. And they had was it Bobby Musso who did the artwork they showed?
Yeah. They showed off some artwork of him standing in front of the Protoform X Protoform pod thing. So
yeah. So that was kind of neat. Like Death Charge turned out okay, as far as I can see. And then they did some Q&A, which I don't remember anything really amazing out of the Q&A that we haven't talked about.
It devolved. I think somebody asked about making the big boxes for something, which I think is, I guess, where my box confusion came in at.
Yeah. And, I don't know. It was the part where they showed us things they're doing was really good.
Yeah.
But that was about 25% of the panel. The other fluff around it was kind of like
the how we do our stuff. Yeah, because the how come paint doesn't match plastic stuff went on for 5 minutes.
I kind of learned softly because I'd forgotten it that the first photos they show of Bakon toys are often just Photoshop jobs. Yeah. Like, all right, that's cool. But then again, the way they said it was kind of like, so these are Photoshop jobs, so you should all stop giving us such a hard time, because now you know, so why are you giving us a hard... You stop it right now. And I was like, man. let's try to not have this like aggrandizing tone to everything that happens here. But
and maybe if they said when they show them, hey, these are early work Photoshops, not, hey, look, it's the toy. But that's all delivery.
Because when they said, so that's why you shouldn't give us trouble. I was sitting there going, like, every time you show us those photos, there's nothing written anywhere saying that that's a Photoshop. So, like, I always remember when they showed us the Motormaster and the head looked completely deranged. And then they were like, you should stop being so mad because it's a Photoshop we put over top of a head that's not even there. And I'm like... You never told us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, if you lead in with that information, it's a whole lot easier to understand than coming after the fact 3 pages into a discussion of angry people.
Yeah, well, that just, it's like what I was saying earlier about how it bugs me when they're all like, who wants this? And everyone raises their hand. Who wants to pay for it? Well, I guess you didn't want it that bad. It's like, well, just tell us that it's going to cost money up front. And then just let us answer once instead of trying to trap us.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to manipulate you into knowing we're right is kind of the whole way of describing it. But then their panel ended, and we went into the Hasbro brand panel where they showed some cool stuff.
And rapid fire. Rapid fire.
Oh, yeah, very fast. The Hasbro guys are awesome panelists. They, every year, get better and better at knowing what to talk about at length and what to say because PR tells them to bring it up.
Right.
So... they just blitzkrieged through a bunch of stuff. When they couldn't get a video to run for the ride or for Prime, the ride one, they're just like, oh, who cares? And then with Prime, they're like, we'll show you tonight. And I loved it. Because they know that none of us care about a movie ride video.
Savage would have given us wristbands and had us come back to a super early panel the next day.
That's right. We don't want to be here all night. They went on to talk about toys. They confirmed the Universal Studio exclusives, which are mostly just redecos or even just reboxes as mm-hmm. well as the evac toys, the Deluxe and the Legends. They went into rescue bots very briefly, which still elicited a cheer from the crowd.
Yeah, I don't know if they even showed anything new out of rescue bots. They're like, hey, look, there's a whole lot in the display. Keep going. Because even the slide itself, it wasn't like they were clicking through things on
it's
the slide.
Moving.
It was just an animated slide. And it was like, look something, look something, look something, look something, look something. Next slide.
Yeah. And even when they got to the what were going to be the new reveals, everything that had been revealed through the official Asian catalogs, they also just sped through, but they lit in saying, like, so we were going to show you all this stuff at length, but you can all see it online. Yeah. It leaked, so whatever. And I was like, good. Just keep going.
Yeah, because in years past, they have kind of acted like...
They would kind of go pretend like it didn't come up before.
Yeah, they detail a little bit, but now they're like, yeah, okay, we'll show you what we can, you know, spend time on the new stuff.
I think also because the leaks, quote-unquote, were official.
Yeah.
The way that these came out. They weren't stolen toys, and they weren't, like, Walmart posting retailer images when they weren't supposed to. What was the first new stuff they went into? So there was some new Prime stuff they went into, if I recall correctly. The first one I remember is the new Voyager based on Exiles, Thundertron.
Yeah.
The pirate captain.
That apparently you can take his foot off?
You can take off his foot to use as a weapon, and he has a peg that comes out to give him a peg leg. And I was like, that's kind of funny, but I also felt lost because I haven't read Exiles yet. So I was like, I feel like I should really be giving a damn, but I have no idea who this guy is or why he turns into like an animal jet thing. So yeah. I was like, I'm sure once I read Exiles, I will be really, really pumped to get this figure. But so I felt kind of guilty because I don't think the figure looked bad. I just felt like I had missed the thing it came from.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, that's neat. I don't think they showed us any other new deluxes that I recall for Prime that we haven't seen already.
What was alongside Cup?
The Rumble Dude.
Rumble
with
Dude.
The big car chunks on his shoulders. They did show us for Cyberverse. They showed us the Legion Arachnid and the full design process to make her, which was pretty cool. That was an interesting design process thing to watch because it also was snappy. It just kept going and going and going. And I was kind of pumped that they're doing a Legion toy for Arachnid because it means that there is confidence that they can actually sell the character on shelves.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. Granted, she doesn't look like super feminine as a Legion toy. But nonetheless, like the precedent that has been there before, it was nice to see that the whole girl toys don't sell thing is starting to die away a little bit more and a little bit more. And that was pretty cool. They also, again, were going to debut some stuff, and they even had a whole effect set up for it where they were all in photocopy black and white, then went color. I was like, someone at Hasbro was having a field day with PowerPoint. Like, this is fun to watch.
Yeah.
But, a lot of those reveals had been scooped.
Yeah.
And so I don't recall anything else Prime-wise that was big-time news. And then they went through bot shots, and again, a lot of those had been scooped as well. Really cool stuff. Alfie's excited. So the bot shots listings, they were neat. I think they showed us new three packs we weren't aware of before.
Yeah.
So we got a really good look at the bot shot Shockwave, which I really want now. That's right. And after bot shots, they kind of had, I believe that's where they had the thank you pop up.
Yeah.
And then fade out. And then they're like, oh yeah, by the way, Generations. Crowd goes, woo!
What?
And then they're,
oh snap!
That's right. And then they're like, all right, guys, follow Cybertron. And we're like, all right, we know about this. Optimus Prime, whatnot. They didn't even show us Wave 1 or Bruticus. They just like, guess what? We didn't even put them in the PowerPoint slides. We'll go to Wave 1 of, like, 2013. Like, what? It's like, Kickback and two other dudes. Just slipped my mind just now. Because I got so distracted by the...
Sideswipe.
Yeah, Sideswipe.
Sideswipe.
Ultra Magnus.
With this, oh,
Starscream.
Starscream was the middle one on that first slide. And the aerial bot, Fireflight.
Firefight.
So those are the figures they're doing for, I believe, the first wave of spring. They're all video game designs. Kickback looked insane.
Yes.
I believe he's in the case right now.
He is in the case.
I believe a lot of this stuff is in the case right now.
Soundwave.
Oh, I'm going to get to that. I just want to mention these deluxes, the gimmick they have, they're all armed with enormous gimmicked weapons that are all right out of Fall of Cybertron.
Yeah.
So it's basically... all the weaponry from the game these characters use is ideally interchangeably being included with them, which I think is a great logical extension of MechTech, because that's a great video game gimmick to work in. And the toys themselves looked really cool, even though I'm sure a lot of them are going to be kind of small, given the ones we saw in the case already. Like, poor Optimus Prime's alt mode looked so tiny. Even though, like, the mass was there, I could see it. Do you need the mic?
I heard someone say it was your...
baby's first Optimus Prime.
Yeah, it looked tiny in alt mode, although the robot mode looked, you know, deluxe normal.
It looked pretty good, yeah.
So it's again, the foam ass shift thing, yeah, which I dig.
It was, the design was a whole lot more like the, almost like the, not the Hearts of Steel, the Dreamwave.
Oh, War Within.
War Within.
Yeah, very the Ultra much Magnus like that. Reminded me a lot of War Within Prime. Yeah. And also, Ultra Magnus and Fireflight had the best weapon descriptions, because, like, Ultra Magnus has a gun and a sword, which you can combine into a really big gun sword. And then Fireflight has a scythe and a sword you can combine into a triple-bladed sword. And I was like, that sounds so awesomely stupid.
Yeah, I was a little to the side, so the screen was kind of tough to see. So Ultra Magnus wasn't just a repaint?
No, he looked like a new toy.
No, he was a repaint.
Oh, it was just with a new head?
Yeah. New head. Yeah.
Okay, I don't know the Prime body that well.
Yeah, well, the vehicle mode looked a lot like the fist with wheels that we've come to.
Now he's a fist with wheels with a gun and a sword that becomes
swords and guns and
sword.
Fists and wheels. Ultra Magnus 2013. Mastodons.
Sabertooth Tiger.
That's not what we're talking about.
Thanks for trying.
Mastodon.
So anyway, Voyagers, new size class for Generations. They showed us a Voyager War for Cybertron, or maybe Fall of Cybertron, Soundwave in a Voyager class. He looks like the War for Cybertron Soundwave done over again, pretty much. And he comes with Laserbeak. Now here's the new gimmick, which I found really interesting to see develop as they did the slideshow. He comes with Laserbeak, goes into his chest. Laserbeak turns into a Cybertronian data disk that transforms kind of like a Bakugan, where it has a button spring-loaded transformation to Laserbeak. I was like, okay, that's neat. And like, he has space for and can shoot three disks. I'm like, oh, this sounds interesting. So they're like, hey, we're also going to do a Sound Blaster who comes with Buzzsaw. And I was like, oh, so I guess you buy two of them and you have two disks. We're also going to release in the Legends class four more discs as two packs. So in Legends class, you're going to get like Frenzy and Rumble and Ravage and Ratbat. They turn into discs and they're going to come with like clear storage cases for the data discs
for when
in
they're
like clear
not,
purple.
For when they're not in Soundwave.
Something that would have been awesome is if instead of Buzzsaw coming with Sound Blaster, if Buzzsaw came with Soundwave and then the two packs were Rumble, Ravage, Frenzy, Buzzsaw, and emulate the packaging from the original G1 toys. That would have been even more levels of referential awesome.
And I am super excited to see these Legends toys in hand, because I love the idea. That's why I love the Candroids from Oz, because they were a bunch of robot animals that all turned into cylinders. And that's why I like the Disc Animals from Hibiki, because they were all a bunch of discs that turned into animals. These are a bunch of little hockey pucks that all spring transform into animals and people robot modes.
Do we know if the Rumble mold, if that one spring transforms on its own? I was trying to get a look in the case today.
I haven't seen them in person. I'm just
because,
assuming.
Like the birds and the bat, you can understand, you know, it just end up being flat.
I don't even know how Ravage works, like looking at that photo. Yeah.
Well, what they said is you could smash them together, so I'm guessing they took a page from Botshots.
Right. I was just wondering how that's going to work to have them end up standing. That was the thing that I would be excited about. I think it may just be like Botshots 9 out of 10 times where he just kind of goes, nah! And then you stand him up in the end.
What they said was, with Soundwave, you press a button on him, his chest opens, and the disc falls out, and when it hits the ground, it transforms.
Yeah.
So
ideally, it would be spring-loaded somehow.
That, I think, is one of the greatest gimmicks.
It's really cool.
Boom, it's done.
And to link a Voyager toy with a bunch of Legends toys in this awesome cross gimmick, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, and finally, you can eject, like in the show, you can eject three at a time. Eject, done.
Yeah, I am really excited about this, because I love the video game Soundwave design. For all the faults that I and other people more so found in the Deluxe toy, that's still one of my favorite Generations Deluxes.
Yeah.
Just for the design and the alt mode, and to see it being re-realized again, like, I am super excited for that. And I think that was actually my favorite reveal of that panel. Also, I just want to briefly mention, I was watching it the entire time it was on the screen. I still could not make out exactly what Fireflight turned into, because it looked kind of like a warship brick with wings.
Shockwave's mold.
Shockwave?
Yeah. It's the same mold.
It's a recolor Shockwave.
It's the Cybertronian artillery cannon.
Yeah, different head, maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
Again, at my angle, I couldn't see very well.
But he has a tri-blade sword.
No, it has a scythe and a sword that turn into a triple-bladed sword weapon.
Oh. snap!
And then to end the panel, they talked about exclusives. And I'm going to be a little bit brief because we got 15 minutes before we go to the Hall of Fame. But they showed us that they are going to be doing for San Diego Comic-Con. They finally cleared up what the hell was going on with all the different Bruticus colors for Fall of Cybertron Bruticus. The first ones we saw where they were a little bit more metallic with the brass blast-off and a little bit more game-like, that is going to be a San Diego Comic-Con box set exclusive. In a big, overly cool design box with artwork and everything, and boxes inside the box that opens like a book. They went through the whole design process of how they did up the artwork for the box, which I thought was pretty cool. And I'm also kind of just pumped because it means in July, if I can get someone to mule one for me, it means that I now know I and others will have this Bruticus toy in hand in July, which is exciting. Also, the other San Diego exclusive, they are going to finally release the Terracon Cliffjumper as Rust in Peace Cliffjumper. And what they did is basically it was the final first edition toy that was not coming out. Because in Arms Micron, it's a completely different toy now. It's like translucent purple. I like the Arms Micron one, but it wasn't from the show.
Yeah.
So what they did is they said, we had the tooling done, we had the toy ready, so because it's an exclusive now, we were able to do even more paintwork on him. We were able to come up with a cool accessory to make it look like there's dark energon like erupting out of his chest. And the box he comes in is, from the show model, a giant zombie cliff jumper head. Each box will be hand-painted to look like a giant zombie cliff jumper head on translucent plastic. And the box that comes in looks like his torso. So if you take the box out and put it on top, you have a zombie cliff jumper torso, which I think is awesome. Yeah. I think both those exclusives sound like some of the strongest San Diego exclusives Transformers has done in a while.
They keep kicking it up.
Yeah. And there's some really weird drawing with people or whatever the game is called. Stuff going on here. But drawing with people. They also revealed one more exclusive to end the night, which is that we are getting MP10 stateside. And it is being done in animation colors, and it is coming with the trailer. It is fully complete. I don't know what it's going to cost, but even if it's $150, I would say it is. If it's under $100, anyone who doesn't buy it is a cheapskate and a fool.
Yeah.
Because that is a damn good toy.
And that one took quite a long time to get the burst of applause because they showed two or three different sets of robot
mode.
And I heard like over here and over there and behind being like, and the trailer, and the trailer,
yeah,
and the trailer, and the trailer. And then they showed that slide and it was the trailer. And then that's when they got the thunderous applause.
They showed it actually in the display case down on the dealer floor.
I saw it.
Yeah. And then when I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is much better than the one that I have. I think the U.S. version is way better than the Japanese one, in my opinion.
Procrastination win.
I need to take a look at it. But, yeah, I mean, I've had the Japanese version since last fall, whenever it came out.
Yeah.
And that it is a fantastic toy whose main crippling point was its price.
Mm-hmm.
And
the U.S. version have the chrome?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's chromed.
Okay.
Yeah, basically, you're going to get that toy. Like, unless you despise Optimus Prime, which is totally valid. Like, if you're a person who is going to buy a high-end Optimus Prime toy, you will buy that toy because it is very good. A couple of us have it. Ask anyone you know who has MP10 what they think of the toy outside of the price. Most people will say, yeah, it was a pretty good toy. It was flawed here and there, but it was a solid transformation, and it looked beautiful in vehicle mode, and it looked pretty cool in robot mode if you like the anime kind of aesthetics. So that was fantastic news because that toy needed to come out stateside. And I'm really happy for everybody, including myself, because now I can get one that looks more anime-like. I think that was all the news from the Hasbro panel. I left before the Q&A.
Yeah, I left in it as well. I don't know if any – did any of us stay around for the Q&A? Figured it'd probably be the same questions. Why didn't this? Why did that?
Yeah. Like, why did you do different colors for Bruticus? Why – I want that one to not be the exclusive.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, after that, I was done with panels myself for that, for the day.
There was one more.
There was a Peter Cullen panel afterwards. Did anyone check that one out?
No.
Because it's a Peter Cullen panel at this point for all of us, I think.
Yeah. I've been to them. So I hope that people enjoyed it. That's pretty amazing. What I did after that, the only other stuff I did was I went around and talked to a couple artists, did a little bit of interviewage, and then came up here. We're about to go to the Hall of Fame, so unless anyone else has anything to add for the day, I think if we start going into what we got, it's going to take us.
It's going to be a while.
So let's
we'll
do
just do what we got on our own shows when we get back.
That makes too much sense.
Oh.
But, Oh. Anyway, thank you all for listening. We will be back again, at least one more time from BotCon. If not two more times, maybe three more times. Depends how many people we can wrangle. And we're going to go Hall of Fame it, so we're all going to get real fancy looking. And we're going to mount our big convoys, and we're going to flex our tusks, baby. Oh, yeah. Triple bladed.
Yeah.
Good night.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.